Hi, ZGR listeners. Welcome to the December 19th edition of Zeta Global Radio. I am Lainey Savante-Wolkin, here to share with you another impactful part of our series of filmmakers who are lighting up the big screen, who are really bringing forward their own personal calling, their own messages, and bringing forward that opportunity to bring to light, to the world, to the planet, all that they are doing, all that they care about, and bringing that message to you so you are touched, informed, inspired. And to learn more about what they're doing today, I'm excited to welcome back Cheryl Ryder, who is here with us to give her 2 minutes of tarot interpretation of today's topic, filmmakers who are lighting up the big screen. Welcome back, Cheryl.
Thank you very much, Lainey. It is really great to be back. Today's subject with bringing the light to the world through film, especially in today's world of just the horrific things that we hear about happening in the Middle East and in our own schools, and some of it is just frighteningly and it's horrifying. And I wanted to bring a message today of something that we could each do to bring ourselves into a place of peace. And a quotation occurred to me not long ago about this sort of thing, and it was from the movie The Hobbit, where Gandalf the wizard is talking to Frodo about a situation in the film, sort of mirroring today's events. And Gandalf said that people believe it is only great power that can hold evil in check. But that is not what I have found. I found it is the small everyday deeds of ordinary folk that keep the darkness at bay, the small acts of kindness and love. And with those words in my mind, I drew three tarot cards. The first card is the Judgment card. The second card is the Page of Pentacles. The third card is the Empress card. And immediately it appeared to me that these cards are mirroring the advice that Gandalf gives in that quotation. The Judgment card represents people looking to a higher power to somehow step in and magically take care of all of the evils of the world. And we look to something outside ourselves. We look to our government leaders. We look to our religious leaders. And as we all know, that has not been solving the problem. It has only exacerbated the problem, because those single leaders can't do what needs to be done. What needs to be done is that each of us, represented by the Page of Pentacles, each of us needs to look within ourselves and find the small, simple acts of kindness and grace that we can do each day, that we can share with each other. And it starts with kind thinking. We need to think kind thoughts about ourselves. We need to think kind thoughts about our world. The Empress card is the card that represents the birthing of our spiritual and thinking and emotional life into the world. So what starts as a concept in our mind, as represented by the stars and the crown that the Empress wears, is processed through our bodies and through our actions and through our senses and becomes reality in the world. So if we, each of us, focus on the kindnesses, a simple kindness, even how insignificant it seems, we can step by step manifest the peace in the world that we want to have. It begins with us.
Beautiful.
It begins with us.
Well said. Thank you so much, Cheryl, for that and for allowing us to really step forward and seeing how we can move forward individually and as a collective in our communities and to the greater planet. And our guests today, Elizabeth Galen Baker and Leon Stubrich, are showing us just how they're doing it through their incredible films. We'll be right back. A grandmother's nurturing prayer for humanity. Hi everyone, Savante here from ZGR, and it's an honor to bring you a compilation CD featuring renowned woman of prayer, Grandmother Florida Maya, with music curated and reimagined by ZGR's own Howard Wolkin and composer Nick Johnson. It's a special and heartwarming experience, one like no other, released in time for the holidays. There's no better gift than bringing a gift of song and prayer to one's heart. To order a digital or physical copy that includes a special sacred plant meditation oil, go to floridamayo.bandcamp.com. That's floridamayo.bandcamp.com. Welcome back to ZGR. I am Lainey Savante. Thank you so much, Cheryl Ryder. You are an amazing tarot reader, and thank you for your reading of today's topic. Filmmakers bringing a huge impact. I'm not even going to say big, a huge impact to the big screen. And of course, today we've been talking about it a lot over the last couple weeks. We have Elizabeth Galen Baker and Leon Stuperich here today talking about their films. And first up, ladies first, is Elizabeth Galen Baker, again, live in studio here at the Lab Recording Studios because she is a local New Mexican like me and Howard. So welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
I'm delighted to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yes. So we were talking off air that, you know, in all the years of doing the work that we do, and sometimes it feels like you're going upstream or you're trying to get on top of the ladder, but then suddenly Spirit's like, now is the moment to shine. Your destiny, your dharma is bringing forward the good works that you're here to do. And your film that we're going to talk about today is so timely, and I'm just thrilled. Between the environment, and Leon can speak later about the Dalai Lama and peace, we have such a well-rounded show today. So let's talk about you first, and then we will get into your film, because this is not your first rodeo in the world of filmmaking, being an author, and all the talented things you do. So let's let our listeners know a little bit more about who you are as an amazing being and worker of light.
Well, I started as a performer through a great deal of grace that got me to New York when I was young. And I mean, I still feel incredibly young, but I was about 19, I think, or 20. And I had been seen when I was 16 by Steve Allen, who was doing a show in Fort Worth, and he opened the door when I got to New York, and I was thrilled to be a part of that show and to watch Harry Belafonte the first time he ever performed and all of that. And it was just magic for me. And then I realized that I was there for 3 years, and I actually did very well. And I realized that if I was there forever and became a big star, that it was not what I was really searching for. And so I walked away from it all after 3 years and went to Europe, got married, gave birth to two great sons, and found that childbearing and child rearing was the most creative job of all, and I just loved it. So I didn't get into all of this until late. I was 50 before I even walked onto my first film set.
Wow,
and
okay.
It took me 3 years to get a job as a PA, a production assistant, on my first film set. And I never would have gotten on one except that my hairdresser's ex-lover's wife came to LA. And
are you keeping track, everybody out there?
and my hairdresser said to her, if you don't give Galen a job, she's going to jump off the bridge. And so I went to work as a PA on my first film, Nerds of a Feather. And within 2 weeks, I was assistant to the director. And after that, I was just a ball of fire.
Wow.
And I did 11 feature films in LA before I did my first documentary. And my first documentary won the New York International Independent Film and Video Festival.
What documentary was that?
It was Where When Buffalo Roam.
Oh,
and it was to save the buffalo at Yellowstone National Park.
See Howard in there?
Yep.
Yeah, giving you the thumbs up, the prayer pose, whatever you want to hear. You know, he and that bison, he loves them.
Yeah, and so I ended up, my whole life, I wrote a book called Gifts of Gratitude, and it's all about how my whole life has been magic. I've definitely taken the path less traveled, and I have followed spirit, and I listen, and I do what I'm told. And when I got the wink from spirit that it was time to leave LA, I came to my utter surprise to Santa Fe, New Mexico, and got involved as the press secretary for the Lieutenant Governor Walter Bradley, and had accessibility to Gary Johnson, and suddenly I was working on getting all that legislation passed to start the film industry in New Mexico.
Wow. I love how you're just perfectly placed and you're just open to receiving the divine guidance. I just want to acknowledge you for that.
It's really been, you know, I haven't, when I was younger, I didn't do very well on a normal path. I got expelled from school and whatnot because I couldn't stand racism, and I tried to explain to people that they were making a mistake in judging people by the color of their skin. And, you know, I had a near-death experience when I was 3 years old, and from that time on, it's just been me and spirit.
Oh, me too. I can't imagine a life without having that co-creative partnership with God, with spirit, with the universe, however you call it. There's just, there's no other way to feel fulfilled unless you have that divine connection, in my opinion.
That's why I was so thrilled when our paths crossed, because I knew that you would be a wonderful friend. And then I was so happy for you when you met Howard, and you know, I have just applauded you because you're doing wonderful things, including this beautiful show that I've been fortunate enough to be invited to.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I didn't pay her to do that, by the way. I'm sitting across the room from her, and I'm really taking that in. I feel it's truly a gift, and we had been sort of circling the environment, the entertainment film world landscape for a while. And then through, of course, another divine intervention, we meet through beloved grandmother Florida Mayo and all the beautiful work that she's doing. Now she's doing beautiful work with us and Howard and composing these beautiful CDs. So it's become an extended family, really, of all of us wanting to do the work that we're doing and support one another in allowing everyone to realize how oneness happens. And oneness doesn't happen by any pushing or pulling. It's just by being and existing and allowing that which is for us to show up for us. And that which is, I love the saying, that which is for us will not pass us. So it was inevitable that we'd meet. And knowing the good work that you're doing now, I'm so happy to be a part of the film. And of course, we'll talk more about that in the next segment, all about your latest film and how it's just garnering a lot of attention, an absolute lot of attention. So why don't we just start a little bit into it, and then we'll continue on in the next segment more about what you're working on now.
A producer, Aaron Daniel Taylor, came and said, I'd like to hire you to do a documentary about climate change. And my first thought was, what do I know about climate change? And should I even take this job? But I'm so used to knowing that if something comes to me, the answer is yes, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether I know how to do it or not. This has been the most magical work I have ever done. It's my best work. I love this film. I have been completely used to make this film by the guidance that has guided me my entire life. And completely used up every ounce of creativity that I have in my body was used. And as you well know, we make films 2 years before, and everyone thought I was crazy. You know, no one gives a hoot about climate change. No one will ever notice this film. Why are you even doing this? Blah, blah, blah.
Al Gore, do they even remember who Al Gore is?
Well, they remembered the film, and they said Al Gore had millions of dollars, and he made a really good film, and no one paid the least bit of attention to that. Why are you doing another one? But my ears were closed. I could only hear spirit. I would see the part. I would see something, and I would know that that had to be in the film. This film is a love letter to human beings.
Intuitive.
It's an invitation to make a moral and spiritual shift about the way we live on the planet if we do not want to be extinct. And it has been as clear. There's been such magic around the film, and it's probably time for you to take a pause, but I have a wonderful story about leaving a bag on a shuttle in LA, missing my flight, taking 12 hours to get from LA to Santa Fe, and getting routed through Arizona and meeting the person that opened the door to me going to Nebraska and getting that whole story. That's the kind of magic that I was working with on this film.
Well, I want to hear more about that, and everyone else I'm sure does as well. So we will take that pause. And if you are just tuning in, we are here with Elizabeth Galen Baker. She is the creatress of
We Know Not What We Do.
Excellent. A documentary about the environment and so much more. Listen to your intuition, take a break, take a pause. We'll be right back on ZGR.
Hey, ZGR listeners. This is Nick Johnson from Tap to Music Podcast. I'm here in the ZGR studios, and I just heard from Lainey about Tech Love. If you're in Albuquerque and still looking for that perfect cozy holiday party venue, or looking to gather with your friends and community, be sure and check out Tech Love in Nob Hill. Tech Love is a warm and inviting performance space that welcomes many creative individuals. Maybe you write poetry, spoken word, songs, or hip-hop lyrics. Tech Love has staging and a sound system that helps you with your creative needs. It's a great environment, and gracious hosts are there to ensure that you have a great special event in a private location for music, dance, and connection. For more information, please visit techlove.us or stop by and see Tom at 3901 Central Avenue, just a couple blocks east of Carlisle in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Tell him you heard about Tech Love on Zeta Global Radio.
Hey, ZGR listeners, this is Cade. Just want to let you know I released my new CD, Will Rap for Change, through Cindercone Records. It touches on topics of the trials and tribulations of life, how to stay positive through these tough times. To order a copy for the holidays, go to cadeofficial.bandcamp.com. That's cadeofficial.bandcamp.com. That's C-A-I-D. Peace. Have a good one.
Edgewood Acupuncture Wellness, offering all of your one-stop wellness needs, including acupuncture, Chinese herbal medicine, NAET allergy elimination treatment, massage therapy, chiropractic, nutritional, herbal, and wellness counseling. It's full comprehensive care for the entire family. We're conveniently located next to Tractor Supply Company in Edgewood, New Mexico. Dr. Ann Losi, DOM, has been practicing for 12 years in the Edgewood area. Edgewood Acupuncture Wellness also features Dr. Heath Alvedrez, DC Chiropractic Adjustments, Chandra Martin, Massage Therapy, and Rachel Irwin, also Massage Therapy. We offer sliding scale fees for acupuncture, and our chiropractic adjustments are only $30. Again, come visit Edgewood Acupuncture Wellness, offering all of your one-stop wellness needs.
Welcome back to ZGR. Lainey Savante here on our round three of impactful filmmakers telling incredible stories that are changing the world. We're speaking to Elizabeth Galen Baker about her documentary. I want to take one step back to what you were saying in the last segment about how this film came to you. Because it's always important for filmmakers who listen to this show as well to hear about people's process, and even also more from an enlightened esoteric standpoint. So this film came to you and you said, I didn't know the slightest bit about climate change. What was your process? Did you sit in meditation for a while? Did you wait for a sign? Like, what part of you becomes 100% aligned and grounded and clear? Like, this is for me, this is right action. Because I always love to share with people how to move forward with divine clarity, with complete knowing that this is yours to take on. So well, I wondered what yours was.
I think first what you have to do is to clear your mind. I don't sit in meditation. I just think of my life as meditation. And if it comes to me, then I know, I just trust at this point. There are very strong signs, but we live in a world that, when I was a kid, I loved optical illusions. And that's what I see this world as now, an optical illusion. And particularly with filmmakers, because we think that the goal is making money, being successful, being a star, blah, blah, blah. But I think that that is an illusion, and that somehow you have to see through all of that and realize that the real goal is to really get as deep into your soul as you can get. And I had wanted to go deeper. I had already made 2 movies. I had already written a book. I had already written 50 to 1 and gotten a credit. I mean, all of a sudden I look around and I see that I have what would be thought of as a good resume, but I didn't set out to make a resume or to do that kind of success. I set out to follow, and I've yearned to go deeper into my own soul. And this opportunity came to me, and I trust that now enough to take it on, even though I wondered what it was about myself, but I didn't know anything about the buffalo at Yellowstone when I got the phone call about that one either. And I believe that is the moral and spiritual shift that we as human beings really need to make. It isn't the golden calf. It isn't the Oscar. It isn't any of those things that we have in our heads. It's learning to trust spirit. There's a line in the film that has become so poignant for me, and it's, what is the cost of pretending God doesn't exist? I love that line.
Yeah.
Because
powerful.
We're so caught up in our cell phones and our this and our that and whatnot, instead of realizing that we are just a teeny speck in a huge universe. And for us to walk around as though we are the most important things that ever could be, and well, if we ruin this planet, we'll just go and start a colony on Mars. I beg your pardon. I mean, really, we need to rethink our existence. And that's what this film did for me.
I was going to say, hence the film. So thank you for sharing that. That was incredibly powerful and poignant in itself. And it does lead naturally to discuss the important messages about the film, that we need to be so present with ourselves and our environment and our animals and the water. And you showcase all of that in this film and then some, but you bring forward aspects that haven't been brought to light so much, maybe particular areas of the country and such. But share with the audience more about the overall landscape of this film, because it's stunning. It's shocking. It's dramatic, just for the mere fact that we don't know we know not what we're doing. We're not what we're seeing. We can't keep just looking at our phones and not realizing there's a bigger picture going on, which you're illustrating in your film.
We went all the way up to Kivalina, Alaska, which is 30 miles above the Arctic Circle. And we were there for 5 days. And it was so powerful because, first of all, this beautiful woman named Colleen Swan, who is in the film, started the interview with us. Now, we had just traveled for a whole day and changed planes 4 times, and the planes had gotten smaller and smaller and smaller. And here we were in Kivalina, and the woman that we came to talk to, I said a couple of things to her as we sat down to be interviewed, and all of a sudden she looked at me and she stood up and said, "You know, you people come and you don't understand anything, and I don't want to do this interview." And she took off the microphone and put the microphone down and started walking towards the door, and Spirit spoke through me, and I don't have any idea what I said, but all of a sudden she stopped and she turned around and she looked deeply in my eyes and she walked back and sat down again. And I said, "Now you tell the story that you want to tell." Because it turns out that so many of us with this Western thinking had been up there and interviewed her, but we weren't listening really to them. And she began to talk. And by the end of the second hour of her telling the story of her people there, one of the most powerful things she says in the film is, "We have to learn to see ourselves again. In the context of Western civilization, it's very hard to see ourselves, and yet that's our most powerful weapon." And at the end of the interview, she was in tears, I was in tears, we were hugging. It was
beautiful.
Amazing. And then also in the film, when you watch the film, a man from Enoch Adams from Kivalina explains the story of the canary in the coal mine. And every time I see that portion of the film, it absolutely surprises me that I would travel that far to hear an Eskimo man in Kivalina, Alaska, above the Arctic Circle, tell the story of the canary in the coal mine.
That's great.
That what is happening to them is so severe, and that it's the canary telling us here and in the West that it's headed our way, and we're just ignoring it.
Well, how can people learn more about your film? I know, just to wrap up, that you are doing into the film circuit scene, or are people able to view the movie, or what's the best way of letting the public know more? For instance, on this show, our listeners, how could they see this
film?
Well,
right now we have a wonderful website, www.wenownotwhatwedo.net, and you can go there. There are 2 trailers. There's a link that's just going up now that says "Get Involved." It will tell you how you can get involved with any of the people that you see in the film. Divine intervention, you know, when you talk to Spirit, Spirit hears you. And Obama rejected the Keystone one day before We Know Not What We Do went into AFN. And now there's a lot of interest in a lot of different countries, and hopefully it will be going onto national television here in the United States. There's a possibility that they're going to put it in Walmart to where it can be purchased so easily. And a lot of wonderful things are happening for the film right now because I stayed out of meddling with it and trying to make it a success. And so, of course, the film has a life of its own.
Sure. Well, we certainly here at ZGR want to continue the journey with you. And so, of course, we'd love to have you back on the show, letting us know how things are going. Maybe give it a couple months, see where what miracles and divine experiences you'll be able to share with us at that point. And you can always check back frequently on the Facebook page for Zeta Global Radio, and we will keep you posted as well. And I also just want to share real quickly, if you are still looking for those holiday gifts, Elizabeth Galen Baker's Gifts of Gratitude is one of our must-haves. So check that out on our website, zetaglobalradio.com, and there's a little gold gift icon there. And let them know that they can see your words and learn more about you through this book, which I was able to do, and it's really nice.
It's not even so much learning about me. It's learning about how to follow spirit. That's what that book is
about. But you've modeled it so beautifully by just being you. So really that exemplifies the teachings we all want to share with everybody, is just be connected to spirit.
That's right. And, it's a spiritual rule, and it's also a scientific rule that we are all connected. And that everything in the world is connected. All of the animals, the rocks, the trees, the water, human beings. That's what we have to really return to, the understanding that there is a tremendous connection, and that you can listen and ask. I'm sorry I haven't been paying attention to you, spirit, but I'd really like to pay attention now. Will you begin to speak to me? And the path will open up before you, and you will find the deep satisfaction and love that you're looking for.
Amen. Thank you so much for being here. What a gift for all of us. I'm grateful. And I really love the fact that when we take a break, we'll come back with Leon Stuperich, who you know. And what you just said about all of us being connected, he's going to talk about the road to peace and how, as a global community, we can all find more peace in our life. We so need it now. And I'm just thrilled the two of you got paired up on the show today. So thank you again for being here.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dr. Carla Garcia, head of the Thermography Center with two locations in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Dallas, Texas. We've been in business supporting women's health for over 16 years. We use an FDA-registered Class 1 medical camera, which allows us to perform both breast and full-body screenings. There's no radiation, no painful compression, and it's safe for implants and works well for dense breast tissue. We're offering a special 10% discount now for ZGR listeners through the end of 2015 on either the breast or full body screenings. Please visit DallasFortWorthThermography.com or ThermographyNM.com, or you can call our offices at 469-249-0065 in the Dallas area, 505-271-6608 in New Mexico. I look forward to meeting you.
Welcome to Natural Awakening's December Prayer and Meditation Issue. We hope you find inspiration in the many articles of our local staff and writers, including interviews with Buddhist teachers Sharon Salzberg and Grandmother Flor de Mayo. May this set the stage for the newly formed and refreshed rituals now and going forward. From everyone here in our New Mexico Natural Awakenings family, to you and those you hold dear, we wish you every joy this holiday season. Happy holidays and many blessings for love and success in the new year.
Welcome back to Zeta Global Radio. Thank you so much, Elizabeth. What an amazing movie. We look forward to learning more, seeing more, and really enlightening the audience on how to move forward with grace on our beautiful planet. I'm really excited now to bring to the Zeta Global Radio airwaves a friend and someone I've always admired in the work that he's done. Leon Stuperich is a producer and director, an independent filmmaker, award-winning, just amazing guy. You've been hearing about The Road to Peace for the last couple years, amazing documentary about the Dalai Lama and his powerful message of peace and universal responsibility. And I'm really proud to have Leon on the show. Leon, thank you for being here and calling in from London.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
For those of you who aren't aware of this film, The Road to Peace, it came out in 2012, and it's been navigating the entire planet. We had the chance in New Mexico to work together, and I'm really excited to really bring forward what you're doing now, so timely, Leon. And also, I'd love to talk about the film, where it's been, where it's going, why it's so important now to watch the film, and then we can get in a little bit about His Holiness and the tour he was on and everything. So a lot we could talk about today.
Perfect.
Awesome. So why don't we just start about maybe a little background on Road to Peace and how you came to have this blessed opportunity to work with the Dalai Lama.
Well, I think... what a lovely introduction, firstly, so thank you for that. I think with the film, making a film about the Dalai Lama is something that I think a lot of people who are interested in kind of self-transformation or Buddhism or ways of bettering the world would love to do. And I think when the opportunity came up, it was firstly a real passion to bring forward the message that Dalai Lama brings, and trying to understand what that message is as clearly as possible. I think a lot of us know about him, and we hear rumors, we hear the mythology of his amazing presence and his amazing sense of humor and all those kind of things. And I started hearing about that when I was in my early 20s, and I started looking for films that could show me what he was like. And I couldn't really find anything that hit that note that could really teach me the way of the Dalai Lama, if you like, what he has to share and what he's like as a person. You know, how we can mirror that ourselves, and that's the beautiful thing about film, is we can have this amazing relationship with the subject if it's filmed in a particular way. So we were making another documentary that was about Tibet, and when we were talking to the Office of Tibet in London, who represent the Dalai Lama in Europe, they said, "Oh, you know, this film sounds great that you're making now. The Dalai Lama's come to the UK next year. Would you like to put a proposal to film his visit?" And of course, we jumped at the chance. We put the proposal together, and the rest is history. I mean, it was quite an interesting one, because they were just offering the access. I mean, usually what they do is, with the offices, they pay a company to film the visit, to make a record of the visit. But the way this worked, it was a very particular time in history where the representative in that particular office at that time had seen our work and said, "Actually, you guys can do this. Maybe you'd like to do it for the footage, and you could do what you like with it, and we have a record of the film." So it was it was one of those right time, right place.
Well, it's so inspiring. There's and on ZGR, now everybody's beautiful and conscious, but we have really enlightened filmmakers who are, you know, moving their path into choosing films that make a difference in the world. And of course, that's what we showcase here, a series of people like you who are doing it. And it's beautiful, because some people are just coming up. But yeah, I mean, you have an extensive background. You've worked for the BBC and Channel 4, Discovery, and major TV productions. Did you have to present who you are, or just Spirit kind of line this whole thing up, it sounds like? Or did you have to say, "I've done this, I've done that"? I mean, just kind of want to know, like, you know, to be working with the Dalai Lama is such a beautiful honor, and I just wondered what the process was in terms of experience level.
I think they recognized our experience from the other documentary that we're making, so they could see that we had a background there that could bring a film forward and showcase the Dalai Lama in a positive way. I think there's two sides, especially at that time, there's two sides to the Dalai Lama. There's his political side, which is China and Tibet and, you know, resolving the situation there. And then there's the spiritual side, which here in the UK, back at that time, wasn't so profiled. The Dalai Lama was still the political leader for the Tibetan people, and subsequently he's retired. So we proposed to make a spiritual film rather than a political film, which was not really done before, which for me was quite extraordinary to see someone like the Dalai Lama, you know, one of the most respected spiritual figures on the planet, and very, very little of him on film that really presented his spiritual side. Every film was political. So I think our background played a part in it, but also it was the desire to show the other side of the Dalai Lama that was one of the big reasons as to why they said yes to us.
Well, and I think it's so profound because I've heard this over and over from different filmmakers I've interviewed. You set out to have this, say, divine dharma to produce a film, and then it almost becomes your path, your life's work. I'm referencing now when I think about Jane Charles and Jeffrey Brown, who did the movie Soul on anti-trafficking, and several years later, I mean, it is absolutely their path to end child trafficking. And I mean, I'm even reading your bio, profoundly transformed by the process of making the Dalai Lama film, Road to Peace. Leon is now committed to promoting peace, human values, and universal responsibility through transformative films, which positively impact society. It's like, it becomes who you are. And who would have thought when you're making a film that everything unfolds, but it starts with the passion and probably goes from there, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's completely changed my life. I mean, I think everybody that I've spoken to, you know, people who are, you know, everyday people or people who are quite established in their field say they've been profoundly affected by spending time with the Dalai Lama. And when you make a film about someone like that and you try and really understand him, you're studying him and his message and, you know, his history and everything about that person in real detail. And I think you can't help but be affected by that. And there's been so much that has personally changed for me since embarking on that. I'm not a Buddhist, I don't have a religion, but I think the nice thing about the Dalai Lama's message is it's a fundamentally profound human message. You know, it teaches us how to be kind, how to be altruistic and compassionate. And what the Dalai Lama talks about quite often is that those things traditionally, up until very recently, have been the remit for religion. But as standard religion seems to be falling away and people are looking for alternatives, these basic human values become the kind of the real jewel, the real gem to take beyond religion and something that we can all apply to our lives. But absolutely, I mean, the message of peace and sharing the message of peace has become my particular path, and it's now, you know, it's now completely everything that I want to do. And you know, with all the screenings, when we share the film, you know, talking about peace when there's a Q&A, and really, I mean, last night we had a screening here in the UK, and we had a packed house, and the conversation around peace was so passionate. People are genuinely, you know, concerned about the state of the world and also how they can change themselves and create peace in their lives. And it's funny because at first it was a bit difficult for me to think, how could I be a spokesperson for the Dalai Lama or the message of peace? But for doing it for a number of years now, I feel like I've learned enough to be able to talk and share enough about what you can do in your own life to create peace. And that's in the heart of the film. It's really interesting looking at the film now, a few years after it's finished, and thinking, you know, there's real inherent wisdom in every frame of that. And as I'm growing, I can see the film is becoming more and more relevant. I'm still learning from it.
Wow. I mean, absolutely, what a stunning platform. And you did mention sharing. So let's invite the audience to learn more how they can see the film and share it with others.
Well, at the moment, what we've done is we've removed all fees to screen the film in the wake of the terrorist attacks around the world recently, because there's an absolute need for conversations around peace. The best way to do that is go to our website, which is roadtopeacefilms.com, and follow the links there to host a screening. The film's also available worldwide on iTunes, which is phenomenal for a self-funded independent documentary that was a labor of love to get worldwide distribution. I'm really, really honored that has the opportunity to go to people in all corners of the world now. So you can check out the film on iTunes, just search for Road to Peace. And if you've seen it, go on iTunes and leave a review and let other people know why they should watch the film as well. I feel like the time where we are now, it feels like we're on the brink of another war if things keep going the way they are. And I feel like the message of peace and the Dalai Lama's message of peace and the conversation that as individuals we need to have about peace is now. And it feels like the reason I made the film is for this time right now, which is strange, but I see the whole conversation in a new context and go that this is the time now to create peace. Otherwise, who knows where we're going to end up in a couple of years if we keep going down this path of division and reaction to violence with just more violence. It just doesn't make sense.
No doubt. I always like to quote J. Brave Luminous, and he always says in his songs, "Peace worldwide starts with inside." We're going to take a break, and we'll be back more with Leon Stupirich, the Dalai Lama, and the Road to Peace. Thank you for listening.
Inspiration. It's all around us. All you have to do is open your eyes and ears and let it in. Music artists are very in tune with this concept. And here on Tap to Music, we like to speed that process up and uncover how they took an inspiration, where they got it, and how they turned it into a song. You see, our goal here on Tap to Music is to help you listen to music on a deeper level. You'll learn tricks, gain skills, and start habits that allow you to create music in a new perspective. My name is Nick Johnson, and I am your host, and welcome to Tap to Music Podcast.
Welcome back to ZGR. I am Savante here with Leon Stupirich, producer and director of Road to Peace. If you're just tuning in, we've had one